Hello and welcome to another episode of the Red or Dead podcast. I'm Andre Dixon with Suki. We are missing the other two who will join us at some point, but don't worry, we will do. I'm sure that you are going to be very much satisfied having my smooth, comforting voice and then Suki's.
I didn't know when you were going to pass that on to me, Andre. More words just kept coming out.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I've run out of words now.
I'm happy to take this one without the other two, to be honest, coming off the big win, the big two wins. So
yeah, we get more talking time this way anyway, so it's fine. It works out well for everyone.
Positive stuff.
So, obviously, let's go back. Obviously, we've had two games. The last time we spoke to you guys, it was before the Bournemouth game. So we're going to go into that, which was a nice, hearty victory. Put fear in the rest of the Premier League. And, we'll talk about... Actually, we can also talk about the Man City and Arsenal game as well. But, Suki, start off with the analysis of the Bournemouth game.
Yeah, I thought we were solid. A big 3-0 victory. I think I missed the first half, actually, because I was driving, so I was nervous.
Yes.
But I checked my phone as soon as I stopped driving when I got to Leeds, and I just saw you posting all the videos of the goals, and then I just got in time to see that Darwin banger, and I was like, wow. Oh. So it just made my journey really happy. I quickly found a stream at my cousin's house to watch the rest. The second half was a bit more down, I'd say. I think that was a result of us going 3-0 up. We were just so comfortable. It was an incredible first half performance. Luis Diaz, wow, just keep scoring. Another two.
Yes.
Play. Another assist for Trent. Brilliant. Mo played really well. I do think Mo's trying, like, got a bit selfish again, but
yeah,
use it because it was a 3-0 game. I'm so happy for Darwin. I'm so happy he got that goal, and the emotion of that goal afterwards, the tears, and what a banger it was. Darwin can only score bangers, apparently. Give him a banger, he'll score them. Give him a
don't tap in. No regular goals. it has to be a worldie or not. That's it. Don't give it, let him shoot from 25 yards out. That's it. But you know what? I would say this, right? If we go into it a bit more with a bit more depth, obviously the first half we had a goal from Bournemouth disallowed. You know how I feel about the overall offside rule, so I'm fair. I still think that should have been a goal because it's like, come on, it's just like what we're talking about is the overall rule. I'm very old school. I like the whole, you know, mistakes made by linesmen, all of that type of stuff. I love that. I feel that we've moved away from something that is like, I don't know, could have made it a more of an interesting game, you know, for all fans, really. I know you're being hardcore red glasses here.
No. I'm with you with that mistakes part of the game, and I do think there should be less involvement for them. But no, not for that Saturday one. It was clearly offside. He was,
you think so?
I'd expect that to be called offside by a linesman, and actually it's a shocking decision for the linesman to not see that, because it wasn't like it was a few centimetres or a few inches off. He was a good foot or two off, I'd say. So,
but even with the VAR, you know, you would still, without VAR, you still think like it's a shocking decision.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. The linesman should have got that. I would have expected him to call that because it was so far off. So yeah. I think that's exactly what VAR is in for, to get those type of mistakes. Like, I'm with you on some of the tighter ones. I think maybe we should go less to VAR on some of the other ones, so it's more in the referee.
Where's your line, though? Like, let's say we are in line and maybe my knee's over in front of yours.
Yeah,
in the still pitch.
So I like the approach of, with offsides, I think there should be a, I don't want to set a limit, but I'm gonna, almost like a, I'd say 6-inch No, 6 inches is quite big. Almost like a 3 or 4 inches distance, where it's
okay,
like cricket, where it's umpire's call, where it could be off, but within that range, because of inaccuracies due to the system and also timing of the pinpoint of the frame and yeah, when the player hits the ball, you just can't be sure. So I do like that idea of having a small amount. I don't think they define it like that. I quite liked when they defined it as a thick line. So they just drew a massive thick line, and they just drew one thick line rather than two thick lines, and then just used eyesight based on that one thick line. That was my favorite approach, but I'm pretty sure they stopped doing that quite quickly.
Oh, so, I used to hate that. Oh, do you remember when they used to do lines, the...
Oh, God, I hate that.
No, when they used to do the little dotted lines going all the way down, not measuring it. I was like, this is not football at all. But fair enough, we benefited from it, so I'm happy with that. But the comeback was good.
I still think they do the dotted lines. The dotted lines is just a way to get whichever part of the body is the furthest back reference to the ground. So say if my bum's sticking out, it's a way of getting the bum level to what point that is on the ground. So that's why they did that. So I think
The nonsense is, because the end of the day is that when we've just had, like, now I think it's like one World Cup, two European, the second one was the European Championships. And there was no quibble about it because it's an automated system and it was done. So I think personally, and I'll stand by this, that it leaves room for allegations of corruption if you are leaving it just to someone's interpretation, because you can, if you want to, if it's not an automated system, then you can be like, okay, I'm going to make this offside no matter what you do, you know? So I just feel, for me, I would rather them just go to an automated system. I know the fan, the clubs voted against it. Kevin's knows why, because it actually, we just want to see the game. I don't want to talk about the referees.
Is that why it was scrapped? I was going to say, I remember
they had a vote the whole before the season started.
Issues last season, the PGML said, especially with the Luis Diaz one against Tottenham, and I think there were a couple of others towards the end of the season. I think they came out and said they were switching to the semi-automated system, which they used.
No, they had a vote for it. So they didn't want to do it, I'm assuming, but there was a vote for it. And then from what I remember, please, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. But I remember there was a vote. I have no idea at all. Or it's either, or this is from top of memory, or it wasn't to scrap VAR altogether. All the clubs were in favour of VAR. Yeah, just have a look, because I could be wrong. But I just think that, from what I remember, it's the clubs voted against the automated system, which I don't understand that at all. It makes no sense, especially from a Liverpool point of view, and they voted against it for Liverpool, and what we had to deal with Diaz. Or am I wrong?
You're wrong. So what?
Well, am I nearly right? Am I like 75?
You're right. There was a vote.
Okay.
So, but it actually sides with our view of more corruption, because the clubs voted unanimously to bring in the technology.
Oh.
But the Premier League delays the semi-automated offside to 2025. Doesn't really give an indication as to why.
Okay, sorry, listeners. I am completely, utterly wrong with that. But this is what I'm saying. And we're putting alleged, I'm saying the word alleged like 17,000 times, because I don't want you lot suing us. This is just, I'm saying that it leads fans to believe that there's corruption and paying off by the officials. And I just don't see the logic in that. If the game is true and you don't want there to be any allegations of corruption, then one, but if we're talking about, all right, we're going off topic here because we're talking about the Arsenal game, but one, a referee should never be being paid to be refereeing in Saudi Arabia and then coming back here. It's not a good look. I'm not saying in any form of way that he's done anything wrong. I'm just saying it doesn't look right.
I think we could probably do not just an episode, a whole series on our views in Premier League refereeing. I think it's a joke. Last season taught me, or the last few seasons have taught me, it's a joke. I do think there is a bit of corruption in there. I can't whether it's intentional or unintentional. I don't care. It might be intentional, but there is an incompetency in there in the refs, which seems to always benefit City. And looking back from a few years ago to the handballs against Rodri that weren't given, and then the handball against Moutinho that was given for them, which made them beat us to the league by 1 point. There was the foul from Doku on McAllister last season in the City game. And there was all the red cards we got and the lack of red cards City got. So, and then you
and this is the same referee that the Arsenal are not happy with. And this is the same referee that on the recording was just saying, no, that's it. It's done. Like literally telling them not what is going to happen. And it's the same that I don't know who's the person who did the Diaz one. He was the person, oh no, it's done. And like messing around until it was too late to do it. So I just think that you leave too much room. This is my take. And Suki would, you know, somewhat agree.
I think we should bring semi-automation in. But again, I'm with you where I don't think it should be marking goals where it's a millimetre or two offside. I think that benefit should still stay. Because even with a semi-automation, there's going to be some kind of technology inaccuracy. Technology is not 100%.
No.
And I've said it already, I always refer to the cricket thing with this. In cricket, they have a thing called umpire's decision, where if it's tight, they will go with whatever the umpire gave it on the pitch. And that's because they recognize the technology is not 100%. And I think it should be the same. I hate that it's so black and white in football, where it's, there's so much judgment that's gone on. There's so much judgment in which part of the body's being used, which frame is being used and all that kind of stuff. So it shouldn't be just black and white. I'm with you. There should be benefit of the doubt to the...
I think in any sport, there's always, obviously, you could look at tennis. There's someone's not going to be happy with the digital camera decision, or if NFL. Like it's difficult with NFL because some of it is still interpretation. You don't want to have too much automated systems, but there's some things that are just clear. If you throw it, if before the quarterback goes to throw the ball, if you move to go and get him before he throws the ball, then automatically then that's your team is penalized. And also if you catch the ball and you touch the white lines, your feet, even if your toes are on the white line, then it's not a touchdown. There's like simple things that they've got. I think that we need to take on things from other sports, but
that's almost like goal line technology, though, isn't it? Where it's beyond any doubt. So I think it's stuff like that where it's not dubious, where it's not got that human element in.
Yes,
I think it's easy. So with nobody's ever complaining about goal line technology, it's unless you're a Newcastle fan who doesn't believe it from last year. But I think there's no doubt with things like that. Tennis is an interesting one as well. Because I always find with tennis, it's used really well. But the problem is, in tennis, it just means a lot less. And I'm not trying to put hate on tennis here. I just mean by the fact it's on a point and there's so many points played in a match. One point's rarely likely to determine.
Yeah, but if you're looking to stay in the game, then that's a different thing. So if you like, sometimes it's about momentum as well. So if you are trying to, basically secure a match point or even just secure a set, then that is every bit of corruption is taken away. However, there's ways that the other people will. There'll be someone who says, "Well, they can do this and this and this." That could be dodge, but I just think you just got to reduce the amount as possible. Yeah. That's all. That's our coverage of the Arsenal Man the Arsenal Man City game. Definitely for sure. Right, let's get back onto our game before people start moaning. Yes, if you're listening, we are getting back to the Liverpool, versus Bournemouth thing. Relax. So anyway, Luis Diaz, 2 goals. He is on fire at the moment. I feel that this is the Luis Diaz. I said this last time we recorded. This is the Luis Diaz that we signed. I think he's become a leader, and I think he's become, which is good for Jota. It's good for Cody Gakpo. It's good for now. It's definitely good for Nunes, and it's good for Chiesa. And Salah, because in the days that who do you cover?
I'm so happy, bro. I'm so happy with how Luis Diaz is playing, because I think it is that level of excitement that Luis Diaz showed us when he came into the team when we first bought him. He was that player where I just thought, this guy looks unbelievable. And he's back at that form and he looks happy. He just looks, it's mad what confidence does to a player, because I think it is confidence. And like, we saw it a couple of weeks ago when we broke away and scored that breakaway goal. And I just last season, Luis Diaz just kept missing those. He's just scoring chances, which I wouldn't expect him to score. So things like half chances, where I'm not, if he missed, I wouldn't have a go at him. But he's scoring these now, and it's so good. I'm really happy. Just it actually reminds me of Sadio Mane when he was scoring all those goals. It's good to have a left wing scoring this many goals. I'm excited.
But I think with Luis Diaz, unlike the situation we have with Sadio Mane, I feel that there's a bit more of a camaraderie. Like, yes, as you mentioned earlier, that Salah was sort of taking shots towards the end because I think he just wanted to join the party. But I just feel like with this team, like the majority of them are happy just to pass it on as long as we score. And that's the new way of us playing. Because you saw that against Milan, I love what Chiesa did to Darwin. He went over to Darwin Nunez and said, listen, when I'm here, cut the ball back. Like, you know, you don't need to try to shoot there. And these are things that are passed down through the whole team. Selflessness. I absolutely love it.
And I actually think it just makes you a better player when you play like that. And I look back at Bobby and I just think Bobby was, he's got to be one of my favourite players in the last 20 odd years. The way Bobby played, he just made everybody around him so much better. If I watch some of the highlights that Liverpool account posts sometimes, actually, or even the Champions League account posts, it's a lot of it is usually a Bobby like bit of magic to set somebody up, and it's so unselfish, and it leads to more goals, it leads to more fluidity, it leads to more confidence, it leads to the players around him playing better, it leads to just everybody being happy, and you could see that. He wasn't upset by not scoring, and that just took a confidence in himself. And he was happy just being that assist maker and just being part of a team where his impact to the team was making the team one of the best teams in the world. Oh, I love Bobby. If we can get to that, if we can get the players playing like that, I'll be so happy, especially with the front six.
But, you know, I look at Jota now. So obviously, the majority of the time he's in the middle. Obviously, Darwin is learning. I wrote him, I'm being honest, I put my hand up. I thought that Nunez was just written off. I just thought that Jota's his guy, and rightfully so. And, you know, Nunez isn't going to cut it. He's not able to control the ball in tight areas. And, you know, he's not technically as sound as Jota. But he gave him an opportunity, and it looks like a very much like a Fabinho situation when he's like actually having to sit on the bench and learn and understand that you will go back on the bench if, you know, you're not doing the right things. Same thing with Endo. I think people have just written his last passing for playing for Liverpool. But it might be that you just need to sit down and learn a new system. There's a lot of games there. But I was very impressed with what I saw Darwin do, because Darwin is a selfless player.
I love Darwin. I'm still confident that Darwin's going to... I just think if Darwin plays, he'll score loads of goals. I do think Jota is Slot's preferred player. I've not been convinced on Jota's form so far. I think he's missed some chances he should have. Obviously, we'll get to the Milan game where he buried... That was prime Jota, to be honest. But I think competition's healthy. I think we are going to need the players. I don't think Jota is going to be able to stay fit for the whole season. I think we're pretty much getting into it now. We're going to have 2 games per week for the near future. And then I was having a look at our season fixtures. We have a really like tough end of this year. Like we have a lot of the big games together. So we're going to need these players like playing in confident, and we're going to have to use subs in those. We're going to have to change things up. So I'm just happy. I think Darwin should definitely start times. I don't think we should be pushing Jota all the time.
Yeah.
I think Jota's going to need to be managed well and rested. And I have full trust in Darwin to be able to play. And actually, I'd love to see Darwin challenging him so Darwin becomes a number one again. Because I think the difference for Darwin, if he can just learn that, what's the word I'm looking for? It's more like just be a bit more militant, just be a bit more structured, think about what you do. If he can solve that, I just think he's a 30 goals per season player. I think you look at his goal involvements last season and there were so many. And if he just puts in the simple ones, he'd have way more goals. I'm a fan of Darwin. I'm so happy we kept Darwin. I really hope he keeps getting goals and he improves. And I do think Darwin is a player that is happy for the players around him. And I quite like our celebrations, actually, because I do get the impression everybody's just happy for everybody else scoring. I know each of them will have the selfishness inside them of wanting to get the records. I know Salah definitely will do as well. But Salah's assist making is so good. I think he's probably, out of all the forwards, he's the best assist maker, like him and Trent, certainly. And so Salah's going to keep getting assists. He's got 4 assists already so far, is it? Maybe more now, actually. So I'm really happy for them. I really hope everybody's happy together. I really hope Slot manages them well. I'm excited for our attack. I'm sure we'll get on the defense. I'm really glad we got the clean sheet. That's what I'm most excited about, actually. That's what I hope we fix the most, actually, is the defense. Because I'm not worried about the scoring. I think we'll score with the 6 players in most games. It's just whether we can... I'm desperate for us to have the best defensive record in the season because I think that usually wins you the league.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I love the way that we play. I mean, I definitely, for the Arsenal fans that are always listening, you know who you are. I think they keep on talking about, we've got the best defence. But I think we've got the balance right. I feel that teams are fearful of us. All of the time, or the whole game, not just when corners come. And I feel that we're being, I'm not going to say title talk, but I think that with Man City losing Rodri and the way that we're playing, that take people stepping up, I think that we're going to get a signing in January. I'm got a feeling about this, even though they're saying there's no smoke without fire, and this Zubimendi thing might actually come off. It might just be like, actually, you know, this is an exciting project for us to be able to get involved with.
I'm not sure. I think Ellie made a really good point. Now Rodri's gone, I just think City will go grab him. I think that actually means City will get him for the rest of the season. But I'm with you. I know we said we'd wait, and it's a shame the others aren't on. When we're saying this, and how many games in the Prem are we in now? We're 4 games into the Prem, aren't we? 5. We've had 5. So we said we would wait for 5. So we've had 4 and the loss. But we've conceded only 1 goal. It's a shame that 1 goal was the one in the loss. But I do think that's a lesson for Slot. And I think
that's a very good time. I think I look at it now. Robert, I would have loved to sit there and be like, okay, we've got 5 goal, you know, we're 100% record, 0 goal scored against us, you know. But I think that that will be a full story. And I think that it's really important for them to learn the lessons, and also for them players not to start stepping up, you know, stepping down on their efforts and thinking, this is what we used to happen with Klopp. I think they used to turn up and think that they've won. And now, you know, you have to earn your place. And I love this. Because you have to earn your place, then performances are going to be high. I must say, I'm not a big Curtis Jones fan. I'm not saying he's shit, but I just... You know, he's not my type of player that I would play. But I was very impressed. Obviously, we're not moving on just quickly with what I've seen with his attitude towards coming off the bench, trying hard as he possibly can. Same thing with Cody Gakpo. You would think someone of Cody Gakpo's like stature would just be like kicking off. He's just happy to be in there whenever he can. I think that the squad is being managed very well. I personally would go with Jota because I think he's more lethal. If there's a chance, I think that I would be shocked if... I'm always surprised when Darwin hits the target. Whereas like Jota, I expect it. I think Jota is become a leader. What I'm worried about, because obviously we don't know, like, just wax lyrical about the beating Bournemouth, because I think we should be. What worries me is losing one of these three players? Because I feel that one of them are going to go.
There's a lot there. I'm going to say it too, Dre. I'm going to say tighter talks as well. I'm pretty excited for our chances this season.
Well, you think we could?
Yeah, I really do. I've been hoping it after each of the game, but I think we said we'd wait five games to say it. Yeah. And I know we've not had the hardest five games, but still, I think I'm going to say it. But I am going to have that massive caveat. I'm not going to get overexcited. I'm going to have the massive caveat on if we can keep some of these key players fit too. So if we can get through and have the likes of Virgil, Trent, Mo, the other attackers, McAllister, all fit for the rest of the season, I do think that we could challenge. What I will say when it comes to Arsenal, Arsenal do boast that they are the best defence. And I think they probably are. But actually, when I look at our players, there's not one of their players I'd pick over our players in defence. So I think it's a style. And I saw this in the second half of Bournemouth. My only negative on the second half of Bournemouth is we gave away too many chances. Mm-hmm. And it's that's what I'd like to fix. Because we kind of saw it decrease at the start in the first few games for Slot, especially compared to the end of Klopp's era where we were constantly giving away chances. It's just that's what I want to fix. I just want to not leave ourselves open at times a bit too much, because I think our players, Canate's a beast. Verge is just the best defender I've ever seen. I just don't think there's any question in like or debate when you compare him to the likes of Ferdinand or whatever, or whoever, or Vidic. But Verge is way higher for me. I would just like us to not concede those chances. And I think that's a midfield's job, actually. And to be fair, I've been impressed with our midfield so far. I think they're really putting in a shift. Obviously, they did a good job in both games. So it's if we can keep just that bit more solidity, a bit less chances given away, I'd love to concede less goals in Arsenal this season. I'd love to batter Arsenal.
I don't know if we will, though. Yeah, but sorry, go on.
What I will say is, I don't know if it's me, but I think it probably is me because I hate them. I think you've rubbed off on me. they seem to get just these goals in good times that they don't deserve. And it just feels like sometimes they just get these victories quite easily. So it'd be nice for them to just go through a period where it just doesn't go their way. I'd like to see how they handle that. Like their defenders bail them out a lot of times with set pieces. And that's what really frustrated me about City on the weekend. It's that Gabriel goal. That was so avoidable. That was shocking defending. There's no way you should be letting him do that to you. You know that's how they're going to score their goals. They get too many wins from their defenders scoring goals. And I just think it's just a set piece goal, which other teams should defend better, really. And that's what frustrates me.
Well, let's get into their game as well. Like, obviously, we won our game. We finished our dinner. You know, it was a very, a really great performance. Diaz is someone that people are very much scared of. You know, I can't actually pick a player that I'm just like, I know people waxing lyrical about Gravenberch as well. Another great performance. McAllister, another great performance. Szoboszlai, I think he does what he's supposed to do. I would like him to score a bit more goals, but I will start saying title talk after the Arsenal game. Because I feel that their defense I don't know whether to take from that game against City whether this could be the start of something for them. Or your play is so negative. And granted, just before they bloody start moaning, obviously you're down to 10 men against City. You're getting a point from 10 men against City is a very good result. But I haven't been blown away with their style of play.
It's not the first time it's been said, though, because against City, I won't badmouth them because I expect my team to be doing that against the current champions. If we went down to 10 men away from home, you'd expect some time wasting. That's normal. Any team would do that. But it's not the first time they've been called out for that. It's like players and pundits have been saying this over the last years, like, or two with Arteta in. And I remember some of the games against us, they've been doing similar sort of stuff. And it's, and I just don't like that negativity. I don't like when teams do that. I just think it is cheating. Like, it's within the rules, but it's cheating.
Wasting and that stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Liverpool playing like that. I wouldn't want Liverpool to go. I don't think we do, even when we're ahead against teams. We don't go down and we don't hold our injuries. We don't fake different cramps and all that kind of stuff. And I do think Arsenal employ the arts a bit more than other teams. But like I said, against City, I don't have an issue with it because...
No, they're down 10 men. Like, so yeah. You've got to do whatever you've got to do to survive. What I will say is this, is that they've got City's attention. I think City weren't really paying them any attention before. I think now that they look like they're under City's skin, so it's almost like a how dare you? You ain't won nothing in 20-something years. So... Yeah, who are you guys? And that's what. But when Bernardo Silva starts talking shit, then that means that they're taking you seriously.
He gave Liverpool a compliment. Never would I ever hear the day that Bernardo Silva gave Liverpool a compliment. He's saying Arsenal are not Liverpool. Arsenal can't chat like. At least Liverpool come and try and get the win.
He did a presentation, but he is that saying that. When I read that statement, it was just like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that's pretty much it. Us and Liverpool are up there. You lot, how dare you, first of all. And I can't wait until the next game that they have at Emirates, because that atmosphere, if Arsenal's still in it, or if City is still in it, will be cooking. But let me make this clear to all Liverpool players, Liverpool fans. We ain't no punks. And never do I want to see what happened there where you get punked. They threw the ball at Gabriel, and then he was talking to him like, who are you? Looking at the little boy's shirt. Be like, who are you? I don't know who you are. Let me tell you something, Liverpool. Gather around, kids.
Sing.
Let me tell you this. Don't be a bitch to this team. I'm telling you now. I worry about our team being too nice. And we ain't got Henderson no more. I know Virgil's very much with the shits. McAllister, I feel like, is a little bit more with the shits as well. Darwin 100% is, but he goes way over the top. Jota is the one. Jota's the one that's with the shits. Jota has got to be the one that is talking shit to these lot. That is going to go and run up and argue with these guys. I want a midfield enforcer because Gavin Birch is too pretty with it. You know, I want, like, that's where I miss Hendo.
I miss Hendo. Hendo just took no crap.
Because
he ain't
having no shits. Right, yeah, wash your mouth out because there's Steven Gerrard there.
Steven Gerrard was our best player. And
Steven Gerrard's with the shits. He was with it.
Steven Gerrard, I obviously choose Steven Gerrard over Hendo any day, but I think a lot of our success in the last few years under Klopp was down to Hendo as well and Hendo's impact on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely.
But, so I don't like when players badmouth Hendo. I don't think he left them.
No.
But Hendo is a Liverpool legend for me. One of the best captains I've ever had.
But if we're talking about... Okay, let me pose this to you. If we're talking about with the shits now, so we're playing against Arsenal next week, right? At Emirates.
Yeah.
And we don't want to just win. We want to make a statement. I'm not talking about 3-4-0. I'm talking about 2-1, 2-3-1, whatever it is. But I want that bit in the moment. That moment in the middle of the field. That Nani moment.
Trent.
Oh, yeah, he's with the shits, isn't he?
Trent is
the bad. Okay, I feel a bit better now.
But I'll give you Jota. Jota is one. Jota's definitely... I just picture back to the Tottenham game when he got that last minute 3-2 a couple of seasons ago. Jota is definitely that player. The one against Everton where he pulled the celebration as well.
What is that? I'd never understand what that thing. I like the Game Boy one. That was sick. But
that was because he did a tournament the day before, because obviously he's a big gamer. So like a PlayStation tournament.
I love that. But when I see him doing that shit. I think this season here is going to be, and I haven't enjoyed seasons for a long period of time, But I think this one I'm going to enjoy because this season is with the shits. This season is shit talking.
To be fair, I think our whole defense is look at Rubber. Rubber's
there. Our worst one. We're forgetting about the most obvious person, the person that is king of with the shits, Andrew Robinson. He is nothing but with the shits all the time.
So I feel better.
We pushed him in the back of his head. Listen, let me tell you something. That's what I fear. I don't want my team to be like a punk ever.
I hate the nice games. I hate the nice games against your rivals. It has to have the grit. So I don't have an issue with what Haaland did, actually. And all these pundits coming out and having a go and calling it tasteless and all that kind of stuff.
What are you talking about when you're talking to the manager saying stay humble?
No, Wrighty came in the press and he spoke about ball in the head. I don't have an issue with that. What's a ball in the head? That's just...
Yeah, but what I don't like is with some people when they're too blinded by their team. And I just think that we would be able to say, no, that's over the fucking top. Or that player's been stupid. And I think that Arsenal pundits seem to be like too sensitive and too like biased.
I didn't mind anything Haaland did that game. I just think when you're that good, it depends who you are. When you've done what Haaland does, that gives you that sort of leeway to be able to go and do that. So I think Haaland was fine in that because he's scored 100 goals in 104 games for City or in the Premier League already. That's the fastest ever, with Ronaldo for Madrid, which is just insane to be on that level, having played less games. He's won the treble and the Champions League with City. He's the player that got them through that. Once they bought him. So I just think that gives you some kind of respect already where you can get away with saying some of those things and doing those because you can back them up. And actually what made me laugh is if you're going to rile up Haaland, I can't wait for that Emirates return fixture. He's going to be wanting that.
They made a mistake, bro. I don't know if that was the right thing to do for them, because sometimes, and he's a leader in that team. If I was a player, if you did that and I was you on my team, I'll be like, yeah, all right, cool. We're going to fucking batter these lot the next time we see him. Now, I think whilst them two are arguing amongst themselves, then we can.
I quite like everybody under.
And we look at our fixtures.
I've always felt we perform better where we're the underdogs and underestimated. I remember they tried to do this last season with us when we were, granted we lost it in the end, but after 31 games, we were top by 3 points, which is a pretty strong position. So, and we weren't even considered top four by some of these pundits last year. So I quite like going under the record. I think people have written us off because it's a new manager, but what people must not forget, you can't treat us like other clubs with a new manager, because how often is it that a manager leaves on their own accord? Normally, when you get a new manager, it's because they're picking up crap because a manager's being forced out and a team's playing badly. But Liverpool weren't playing badly. We left on a high. Klopp left on a good note. He left the team in a really good team. And that's why Slot's playing the way he is. That's why Slot's like the first Liverpool manager to have won their first game and so on, because I think you can't treat us like a normal changing manager, I don't think.
I'm gonna circle some games here. If we're talking about from a path for me to be able to start saying that I am going to I'm gonna start being able to say title talk. Sorry, my son has just walked in, so just please excuse me if you hear anything. You gotta be quiet because daddy's on the podcast. Anyway, so we're looking at Crystal Palace next Saturday away.
We need to
teach them a lesson, but they're a good team, so fingers crossed they're going to be open and play open. Then we got Chelsea, and I think people sleeping on Chelsea. Chelsea are starting to come around. Nicholas Jackson, who I thought was like one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life, and I thought that one of the fans that was selling sausages outside could do better than him. I I thought he was truly shit. But I have to apologise because I, you know, he's actually turned the corner. I ain't saying he's like of a level that I would like him playing for my team, but you know, he's definitely someone who's going to get my attention. So
I don't think Chelsea should be slept on. I think Chelsea have got good players. I think we always struggle against Chelsea. We've never beaten them comfortably, really. Like we normally end up with these horrible draws.
We beat them last year. We beat them easy last year, our ground.
No, but we drew the opening fixture, didn't we? Was it 2-2? 1-1?
Yes, we did. Yeah, but that's because, you know, Klopp didn't know how to shut that door.
Chelsea don't have the best defense, so unleash our front six on that.
Right, okay, so we got Palace, then Liverpool, see if you agree with that. Right, forget about the Champions League fixtures as well, because, then we get to the... Reds, this month is the month. Sorry, that's coming through. You know, we're almost in October, so imagine we are. October is the month where we can start believing or we get humbled. And if we beat Palace, Chelsea, then Arsenal, I'll start the title talk. I will start the title talk. Because but then I want it to be a message. Right, Chelsea, we've got our ground, so therefore I think we're favoured to win that. But we're away at Emirates on the 27th of October. If we are where we are now, within 1 or 2 points, and we win that game, then we can start talking.
Do you think we need to... I think we will go and win that game, but do you think we need to win that game or do you think we need to draw that game?
No, we have to win that game. Now, I have an unhealthy hatred for Arsenal. I understand that. Anyone who knows me or listen to podcasts or watch me on Instagram or any show that I'm on ever, I hate them. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles just equally. Now, but I feel that with Arsenal... I feel that we've got the beating of them, but I want to see what their fixtures are beforehand. This is a map. This is not saying that we're ignoring who we're playing. I think that we were capable of beating everyone there. Let's go back to the West Ham game, because that was a nice, healthy victory.
Gakpo, another match for me. Gakpo, unbelievable. Gakpo, brilliant player. I don't actually know who got another match, but Gakpo was unbelievable.
Gakpo, this is what I'm saying. When you can actually interchange, because I think we was all like giving some decent scores, but West Ham have actually are a decent team. So I was actually surprised, and pretty much they played their full team.
And they had that ridiculous, and I don't think it was a 5-1 game. I think that did disservice to West Ham. I actually think they gave it a good go in the second half, but that was just a ridiculous red card from them, which just made it easy for us in the end. We were already up though.
Joe Gomez looked happy. He was the... Was he honorary captain?
Was he captain?
He led the team out. I think he led the team out.
He must have been then, yeah. He's back to his centre-back position rather than right-back or left-back.
So, all right, we have to be fair. Curtis Jones played really well.
Look, he's a... I don't know. I actually didn't... I don't know what to say. He played well in bits, yeah. I still think there are bits, I say bits, where he was just taking too many touches and he didn't release the ball early enough. And it's that's the bit that frustrates me. And it's if you're not learning that already, I just don't think you're going to learn it. And that's for me, I'm not saying he's a bad player. That's for me why he just doesn't... I wouldn't want him in our team against good players, good teams, against our challengers. And I think that's the problem. He obviously did really well for the Joshua assist. But he also, didn't he get lucky? Like, I think he almost lost the ball at one point in that.
Can you not give him any praise? He did well. He did well. I thought that the move that he started with Jota, actually he started it and he got the ball back and he passed it through. And that was really good. I thought he actually could. Now, relax everyone who's saying he should be playing instead of, Dominic Solskjaer.
This is the problem, Dre. He'll do this game against a West Ham in a league. And he did it last time we played West Ham in the League Cup, where he banged a couple of goals in. But then we'll have all these excited fans calling... getting playing in the team, And then he'll come into a team against a Prem side in the league, and it just, he'll do some like awful performance where
he'll bomb.
He made a difference. Yeah, and it, that's what frustrates me. He's just not consistently good enough.
All right. But what I'm really interested in, obviously, McAllister came in for a little bit, Salah came in for a little bit, Robertson came in for a little bit. But rested was Van Dijk. Obviously, they're on the bench, but Van Dijk, Diaz, Szoboszlai, and Trent was rested. So that's where people say, oh, well, you know, Arsenal got more strength in depth. I don't see it. Obviously, City have got strength in depth. Let's not play around. I don't see any other team that's got like strength in depth like us. Chelsea got strength in depth, but I don't know if they even know who's playing. If the teams even know who's on the bench at some point.
They've got cohesiveness in their strength.
Yeah. So I'm quite, you know, I would say we're both colour us confident. You know, I'm not doing a title talk. Suki kind of said he is, but then he backtracked because he realised he's going too early. So we'll see then. But let's do scores for the... I just got to double check our fixes now. I'm not prepared in any form of way.
It's Wolves. We got Wolves.
Wolves 5:30. Yeah, good. So, and everyone hasn't got to be on their Amazon sticks. Right. What's your score prediction? We are away.
It was actually funny. I saw Ali posted the game last week on Saturday, and I was like, no, is he just posted him illegally streaming this game? But randomly, no, it was a game in Brazil. It must have been his old club. So I was like, makes sense.
You turn it over quick. He's like,
Let's just do the Wolves one, because hopefully we can get another one out at the start of the week next week before the Champions League with the full team. I'm going to go 2-0 Wolves. To Liverpool.
Sorry? I was like, wait a minute. Stunned silence there.
2-0 to Liverpool against Wolves.
Wolves have not been playing well. I don't know.
I think Wolves might go down this season.
I mean, there was bloody... I think it's a ground that we play well in. They seem to not know how to defend. So, unlike Forest, I don't think we're going to, you know, play against teams like that too often, who are very equipped at defending.
I'm going to change mine to 3-0.
3-0. Yeah. I'm going to go with a safe 2-0. I think that... But if maybe what we could do is maybe kind of figure out a way to... If we could predict the first scorer, maybe we can get bumper points in our little table for that.
Ooh.
Now, yeah. I think that he's gonna play Jota. And I think Jota will get the first one. Who you got?
I'm going to go Salah, I think.
Salah? Yeah. Nice. All right. And then in the middle of the week, we have got Bologna. We are at home. What is your prediction for
that? Let's leave that one. Let's hopefully leave that one? Yeah, I reckon let's try and get another one out at the start of the week with the rest of the guys.
All right.
But I'm going 3-0. I'm a bit worried for Wolves, actually. I hope they can get through the season, but I'm not sure. They got absolutely destroyed by Chelsea, didn't they? That's what made me switch 3-0 to 3-0. But yeah, and also, yeah, shout out to Gakpo again on Wednesday. It's obviously going to be Diaz, I think, again tomorrow because he's rested. But I'd love to see more of Gakpo. I think we'll play Jota over Nunes against Wolves.
Yeah.
And then we'll see Sabos, Gravenberch, and Mac in midfield. Mac was brilliant. I know me and Ellie called out Mac last week for not still being in his stride. We said something like 70%. Mac was really good against West Ham, I thought.
Exactly. You guys got to remember as well, he just had the Copa America as well. So, like, you know, these are rinsing these players. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass. But what I do love is that even though you feel like you can predict a slot side, you can't really. Yeah. There'll always be one or two changes it might be. But I do love the consistency that they have. So we will come back to you guys next week after, fingers crossed, a Wolves battering.
Just ahead of the Wolves game, for those who haven't seen, the Liverpool accounts posted a social media video of Jota going around the players, I think talking through their
Oh, yes, the FIFA. Cards. Yeah.
So that's enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quite good in that, actually. And that goes with your Jota's got a bit of stick with him, like a bit of needle.
I like that shit talking. And then also Chiesa's with that shit, with the shits as well. You can actually see. So Chiesa was going back and forth with him. And then I think McAllister was like, yeah, Jota's really good now. And he's like, well, we'll see. We'll yeah. So I would like to see, because Jota's had his own way for about a few years now. So imagine Chiesa comes in and becomes the dog on EA. we'll have to see.
Chiesa gets some time, actually. Wolves might be a good team for him to get more time against.
All right. Well, we've got part of our predictions out. We will come back to you guys next week, fingers crossed, with another Liverpool victory. And it is the month of October.
Halloween.
That is Halloween. Do or die for our season, because, yes, Arsenal, we're coming closer to our date with you. I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.